Hello and welcome to the Debrief Podcast.
Cheer up, love.
Oh, good stuff.
Thanks.
Well done.
Thanks.
Why are you asking me to cheer up?
Because this is the podcast I'm catcalling. Also, I want to have sex with you.
Yeah. I've always wanted to have sex with that man in that white van.
So hooray. Much. This is a podcast on catcalling with me, Stevie.
And me, Tessa. I was so thrown by Stevie's good opening.
I know. Almost offensive in how surprised you were by how good it was.
Well, it was so good.
Tessa, have you ever been catcalled?
Absolutely, yes.
I'm laughing because I know you have, because I just catcalled you then.
Yeah. Good example.
What form does your catcalling usually take? Like, I've got my, like, 2-3 classic. Or do you have a range?
Oh, absolutely a range.
Because I find sometimes mine are always just someone shouting something.
Because I think, where'd you go and put your hat? Out of a van.
Where did you go and put your hat?
Yes. I actually really hoped that I had muffled it enough that you weren't sure.
No.
But that is what it was. Yeah. From a white van on the move.
Yes. Less intimidating, really.
I think is just, despite the right range, the spectrum, are all just in the same barrel.
Of laughs.
But same barrel of laughs or non-laughs together, up into someone actually talking to you in the street or someone actually properly harassing you, or like a joke comment is just as much a unwanted comment.
I fully agree. I have the same thing. If someone comes up to me and says, sorry, do you mind stopping for 1 minute? I just want to tell you, I always go, no! I just can't be bothered with all that stuff. No, it happens very rarely, but when it does happen, it's unwanted and annoying. But there is the counter argument that is that you get to that grey area where it's like, sometimes it could just be like a nice guy on the tube who genuinely is like, well, she's quite nice. But you can tell the vibe, I think.
Yeah. That's
why
I'm like,
you can tell the vibe.
I want to dive in because there's so much to talk about here that it isn't just like a nice guy, you're having a fun chat on the tube. Where as soon as it begins, you know immediately.
You know, I would say within 5 words.
Because no, less. One heartbeat. As soon as like you
Well, like if someone says like, excuse me, like, I really like that book and I was just wondering where you got it from or whatever. You can be like, okay, that's fine. But excuse me, I was just couldn't help noticing that. No. You know what I mean? Mm. Like there's a way of starting
I've been waiting
it.
For one of those.
The pickup artists around Central London.
Yeah. I've been waiting for a while. I scared one away by having such a furious argument with him.
Right.
Even if it turns out that you were meant to be together and should be married, that is not a way to begin a relationship.
No.
With the power so immediately shifted in a way that someone's like, sorry, what do you... And they're catching up, whereas you've been watching them for a while and have actively chosen to go over.
But it's like snipers. It's like
exactly like a sniper. But instead of a bullet, it's love.
It's not even love. It's just like, I think you're fit.
So I really want another one so I can quiz them further. And maybe I'll go for a drink so I can lure them.
I wouldn't do that.
Okay.
Because then that'll be like a yes for them. And it doesn't matter how it pans out, they've got a yes. Anyway, what adult thing have you done this week?
I found
that was it.
No.
Okay.
I found a shirt that
wow.
The buttons on your bosoms, it's got two secret buttons that button, I'm going to use the expression, the other way, which is unhelpful.
Okay. Why would you ever need that?
Because when you wear a shirt, regardless of how big your bosoms are, it sort of like gapes.
I fully am on board immediately.
Right?
I've 180'd. I know what you mean. I didn't understand why. I was like, what, so if someone's in, little man's inside your shirt, he can get out?
Yeah, it's for him.
Get it from the inside.
Yeah, they're quite like weirdly awkward to do because you're like, okay, this button's backwards. But then it's a hidden one that you can't see.
Mm.
And there's two of them just at the top and they keep your shirt tight. And I was like, this is phenomenal
that
stuff.
That is great because side on, you can see my left tit. If you stood at the right. To the right because left you see the right.
Getting just the right angle.
Oh, yeah.
Full tit.
I know, yeah. Oh, that's great. Okay.
Yeah, they are.
Where are they from?
Marks and Spencer's. But
right.
I thought, I can do that. And I did.
Mm.
I went home and buttoned myself another one. In your face, M&S.
What a day.
Secretly buttoning shirts all over the place. Yeah. Tits concealed.
Check. Mine's boring. I won't wait for you to ask me because you never do.
Well, I know it's coming.
I know, but you should always ask.
I'm so sorry. Hey, man.
What? Are you going to catcall me?
What's that?
I'm punching you.
Oh, good. Yeah, I think you're really hot. What thing have you done this week?
Shouting good, from good a white van.
Good cat
Which was that I started a Pinterest.
Oh, yes, please.
I've never...
What's your name so we can all follow you?
Oh.
Don't reveal it.
I'm not going okay. to. My boyfriend made an excellent point, which was when I told him about the Pinterest, because I started it because I was like, well, this would be good. We can like put stuff on there when we move in together. I want this sofa. No, you can't have that. Mm-hmm. That sort of thing.
Good, like, good to discuss.
Is this your aesthetic? No, it looks like an alien. That sort of thing.
What's your vibe? Art deco?
My vibe's very like
early Victoriana.
Well, you'd think it was one of the two. It's mainly Gryffindor common room.
That's such a good choice.
Aesthetic. My boyfriend's aesthetic is very minimalist and just like a grown up. It's often
Gryffindor common room. I hear you.
Yeah.
It's such a good aesthetic.
But he made the good point of when I said, no, it's great. So basically, see something cool that you like, you pin it, it pins to like a board, like a modern day scrapbook. And he was like, okay, great, but you can't buy a lot of this stuff. Like, it's just pictures. And I was like, yeah, it's just nice to have an idea. He's like, why don't we just go on made.com?
Men are the worst.
And actually pick some stuff. I was like, yeah, it's actually a very good point.
No.
It is, because there's nothing on my Pinterest board apart from like, oh, why don't you put some Fairlights in a Disaronno bottle?
Yeah.
Like the actual stuff, I'm like, that's
we've
an
all
actual,
done it.
There's a lovely coffee table. And actually, it's as he pointed out, it's painful because there's a really great coffee table that looks like an old tree with books in it.
Oh.
But he was like, you click through and you can't find it because it's just a picture that's been like shared loads of times.
My Achilles foot is
okay.
A chest of drawers.
Yeah.
Many suitcases on top of each other. Have you seen it?
Yes, yeah. I've seen it, and I've also nudged towards that and then been told very politely to maybe stop asking for loads of suitcases.
I think it's the things that look like other things. That's very much my weakness.
I'm really
That's my weak area.
That.
Today there I bought
a tree. There's a bookcase that looked like a tree.
Oh,
and all of the books were on the branches.
Oh.
Do you know what I mean? It looked really good.
It looked really good.
It looked really
Today
good.
I bought two pencils that look like candy canes.
Well, there we go. Now you've undone your adult thing. So that's perfect.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about things that look like other things.
No, it's great. Catcalling.
Back into catcalling.
Catcalling, yes. I think we all generally know that catcalling is really bad. I like to always engage in it on like an intellectual level and be like, okay, so is it all bad? Is some of it just like a guy trying to approach you in a bar to ask you out? And actually, as we've discussed before, you get the vibe immediately. If a guy asks you out, he asks you out. If he approaches you on a busy, crowded street and says, hey, just talk to me for a minute, that's not asking you out. So let's just now come from the base level that we all know what we mean by catcalling, which is unwanted attention.
Yes.
From the opposite sex. Or any sex.
Yeah, so I was just thinking if it was a crime officially.
No.
And it is in Northamptonshire. Nottinghamshire.
Oh, great.
Is the only county in the UK in which misogyny is now a hate crime.
But how would you prove
the category includes
that?
Everything from verbal comments and wolf whistling to unwanted physical approaches. So
That's
everything
brilliant.
In that whole umbrella.
The only tricky thing is then you've got to prove it. So you will have to take
absolutely.
Video
but at least
footage. But
it
great,
is
a thing.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's nowhere near. Firstly, guess who made it a thing? Chief Constable.
Feminism.
Close. Sue Fish.
That was going to be my next guess.
Yeah. Did a woman rise to the very top and then make a thing? Be like, oh, no one noticed that this was an issue that was happening to women because men are at the top.
That's amazing.
Yes, I don't doubt for a second that it'll still be very difficult to for it to be in any way reported or anybody.
But at least
here is now people being like, we can all be clear that this is a crime rather than
just... And if there are
just
witnesses, then it becomes increasingly easy because that person will have seen you be catcalled or seen
and so
you be harassed.
The police force defines misogyny as incidents against women that are motivated by an attitude of a man towards a woman and includes behaviour targeted towards a woman by men simply because they are a woman.
Great.
And
which
so
is
that is
90% of catcalling.
Yeah, exactly.
The other 10% don't know what they're doing.
But yeah, it's that thing of like, oh, they do it because you are a woman.
Yeah,
therefore,
they literally see a skirt and then it's like an impromptu.
I can shout anything. I can shout anything I fancy.
They can't help it. There was the other night, me and my sister were coming home from a very fun evening watching The Craft.
Oh, fantastic!
A screening
time.
Of The Craft. It was amazing. We were a little bit tipsy, and we were listening to Little Mix Salute, which is one of my favourite female empowerment songs. If you've ever not listened to it, please go now and listen to it. Little Mix Salute. Good to know that you're listening. I don't know who else I'm talking to in this room.
sorry,
what was that? I wasn't listening.
So sorry.
What the fuck are you doing?
reading.
Someone hasn't done their research before the podcast.
I just got really interested.
And we were running, we were sort of like, I would say skip dancing down my road, which is the main road. And we had like one earpiece in each ear. And we were like singing it. We were just having a sing. And within that, I think it was 5 minutes, we had three beeps. And then two guys who were walking towards us split off and both went like, hey, baby, to which we both yelled, fuck you! And like put our middle fingers right in their faces and like made them like step back, which was amazing because we like fully exploded. But then you're like, oh, like those guys were beeping and doing that because they just saw two women enjoying themselves and had to say something, like had to kind of like, but it also felt incredibly powerful to, because I don't react like that when I get catcalled. I ignore it because I'm from the school of thought of like with bullying or like with someone who's doesn't like you or like anything, you just ignore them and they'll go away. It's sort of like at school, like when a kid's being mean to you, you just, they're doing it for a reaction, and if you don't give them the reaction, then they'll stop. Part of me was like, well, if all women never react, then the men will never do it, and that's so not true.
That's no.
But I realize that now. Sometimes I feel like that is a good thing to do. Sometimes I've been in situations where I'm like, okay, I could react now, but I'm afraid and I don't want to. Mm-hmm. And you have to like judge it. You can't always go completely berserk at somebody because they're bigger than you. You're alone. You're in an alleyway. You're like, cool. And then I suppose the next step is you punch me out and rape me. You literally don't know what's going through their mind. But when I was doing that singing thing the other night and I told them to go and fuck themselves, it felt really great because I was like, yeah, like you're not allowed to do that. I'm with my sister. You're not allowed to go, oh, hey. Like, what was the end of that sentence? But I didn't want to engage with them. I didn't want to know what the end of that sentence was.
I'm of the school of thought of the extremely precocious. I'd like to have a sit down and discuss where this comes from.
I've got that vibe already.
I want to like have more access to them so I can be like, hello, please.
Yeah.
Let's discuss this.
Because I don't think any of my male friends would ever do that. All my boyfriend. Oh, my boyfriend does it all the time. But like, I don't know if any males that I know, I don't think they would ever be the people that do it. So who are these people?
Your thing about
all of them?
Your thing about being like, I guess if all women ignore it, then it'll stop. It's like, crucially, it won't, because no one's really doing it for a reaction or a response or any of those things. It's to be able to do it.
It's the alpha male thing of like showing to other males, like, it's very rare that someone catcalls you when they're fully alone. They're often with one other person, or they're often with like friends, because you know, then know that when you walk past, the reaction is to be like, yeah. And then they continue their conversation about art, I'd imagine.
Certainly.
Mozart, I'd say.
Absolutely. And there's like, no, it's not about the reaction. It's just about like the beeping the horn. It's like, I can do things.
I can do this. I can assert. Also, it's about them as well. Like, doing that makes them immediately feel, subconsciously or consciously, more powerful and more like the big boy in the playground. So they do it just as a reaction to kind of boost their own ego. Yeah. But then you do get the lone ones who say, like, I've had a couple, three or four in my life where I've been like, you know, it's been dark or whatever, and I've been walking, and then someone who looked very normal and just like a normal looking guy said something like incredibly sexually explicit to me as I'm walking past. And that's the most terrifying, because you're like, oh, you like hate women, I suppose, because you're not doing this to show the pack that you are the top dog. You're doing this because you want me to be frightened.
Yes, yes, yes.
And that's like... Ugh.
And so obviously then on the like sliding scale of like something horrifying in the dark, that good Lord.
Igor
shouted. Igor, master, a woman is approaching. No, like on the sliding scale, that something horrible and rude and explicit in the dark is obviously much more terrifying, but maybe he was no more likely to do anything than
the guy going, well, exactly. Well. Yeah.
But they are born of the same place, which is, I'm allowed to say
and
anything.
I feel exactly the same when, for example, like I was on a bus and these 18-year-olds, they must have been about 18, or maybe they were even younger, and I was eating a crunchy a couple of years ago. I had no money, and I'd been given a crunchy at work, and that was my dinner, and hanging all day.
That's what
and
a bleak
I
had
it. It was horrible. Well, I was just very poor, but it explains why then. Neck. It was so sad what happened, because then I had one bite of it, and they also had, like, doing blowjob noises. There were loads of people on the bus. Nothing. No one said anything. So I was like, they're just doing blowjob noises. But I had to like put my dinner away, and then I just sat and I just cried and cried and cried and cried and cried. And then they like got off, and then one of the guys went, oh, I'm sorry about that. I just like looked at him and then he left. And I was like much older and I felt really stupid. I felt like, why did that affect me? Why did I feel sad? They were just doing stupid blowjob noises. I should have told them to fuck off and ate my fucking crunchy. But I didn't, because you just feel stupid. You just feel like you are the one who's not in on the joke. You're stupid. You're the butt of the joke. I don't like it when people say, it's just, that's fine. You're like, well, it's not really, is it?
Yeah, I think a way of like describing it is that like every single oil is just like one little piece out of your armor gone, and then you're like, yeah, it's no bother, it's just a tiny hole,
yeah, only a mosquito could get in there, for example.
But a mosquito can still do some damage when it gets in, and b,
if
it's
it
like,
has malaria,
am I right? Sexism, I don't know, it's tricky now. Who are we, everyone? But the more and more holes there are in there, eventually your armor, you know, falls away, because you are just too so small now.
Yeah. Or you're overly defensive and you end up like hating all men because you're like, well, all men just do that. And like, that's the other thing. People get really defensive.
I'm carrying around this, I'm trying to think of a better metaphor, like carrying around a backpack full of things people, you
shit.
Know, of horrible things. Yeah, literal human shit. No, backpack of like horrible things that however small they might be, there's so many of them.
Yeah.
You know, you're carrying them all around with you and you carry them always. Even though you can't remember them, they all sit there. Of, like, something that made you feel small. And it is this like, it is this power dynamic that is so hard to explain or describe or like get across. And like, why, you're like, why did you cry on the bus? Most it's because you were very hungry.
No, I felt,
but it was
picked on as a 25-year-old woman. I was like, what the I'm being picked on. This is not what I want for my day.
No, had you had a nice roast though, you probably would have felt a little bit stronger.
I used to get really upset when people said stuff to me in the street, always. We used to get
roast
really
or
upset.
Otherwise.
Roast or otherwise, I was full.
Yeah, absolutely.
I had four dinners.
And it's that thing of like, you being made to feel small and like, and bullied in a way that you're like, oh, I didn't need this.
I didn't realise I could feel like this.
I didn't
realise
I could feel this small. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. As in,
and another adult's doing it to you. And you're like, what other situation in life do you, like, in work, you might have disagreements. You might have, like, a bullying boss. You might have, like, a colleague who's an asshole. There's kind of procedure to it. It's people in stressful situations, and it's over long periods of time, or it's, you very rarely get, like, ha ha, like, in life. You know, like a little kid in a playground, like, taking your hat off and throwing it up a tree. You just don't get that. And then, but suddenly catcalling suddenly feels like that, and you're like, hang on, I thought we'd gone past this.
I thought we'd passed my hat up a tree.
Yeah. And now my hat's up a tree again, and you said you want me to get my tits out. I don't want to.
Yes.
But we are preaching to the converted, because everyone does. Everyone's aware of this. Would you like to know about the bystander effect?
Yes, I would. Can I do one more thing?
Yes.
It's that the thing that you were saying about, like, well, where are the men? That the two things that really struck me about this, like, Me Too campaign that I'm sure everybody has been following or is aware of. One is that a nice boy asked me in the street, my friend said in a genuine, compassionate way to, like, as an offering an olive branch, was like, is this something that you've been affected by? Do you have a Me Too? I literally, like, stared at him and I was like, every woman you have ever met is Me Too. Like, it blows my mind that you're asking me that question. And it blows my mind that, like, this campaign, people, it's in the news being like, well, we didn't realise the extent of it. And the idea that, like, that is a genuine surprise to people blows my mind.
But a lovely position to be in, to not know
to
that's
not
happening.
Know, to not know that that's happening. And is it either you just didn't listen or you couldn't... You couldn't comprehend or you...
Unless, you know, you've witnessed something happen and you've not done anything about it. It's often that the guys haven't done it themselves. Mm-hmm. And then whenever they're with girls, guys don't do it to the girls.
Yeah, so then it comes to your thing of, like, where are the men? It's like, if this has happened to every woman in the world, where are the men that did it?
Yes.
Because we don't know any of them. Like, where are they? Like, are they...
Hiding in holes.
Are they literally in a
hole?
Ground. And therefore I bring into our male correspondent, Tom. Was it you?
Is it you,
have
Tom?
You been them all?
I can't say I've ever done
it. He says nervously.
I can't say I've ever done it. I've never really had the confidence or the will to do it.
Do you know
but I do
guys?
Know, yes.
Great.
What sort of guys
why?
Are they?
Why are they? And
they are, I of friends, they're probably not doing it anymore because they're sort of settled down and everything, but they're all a certain type of guy. Yeah, football on a Saturday. Yeah, booze pub.
Yeah,
they're kind of lads kind of people.
And can you, at a guess, say where it comes from, please? Unpack the whole male psyche.
It comes from a pack mentality. I wouldn't have thought these people did it when they were on their own, but when they were with a group of mates, that's when they would do it.
Great.
To show that they're the most virile and the most, like,
Does it get a laugh from everyone else in the group? Like, is everyone like, well, that's good stuff?
What do people do say afterwards? Do they all go like, that was some excellent catcalling. Next time, maybe try this.
So I'd say the guys are of a similar mentality, probably, were like, yeah, good one. And then half the group would be quiet and not
doing it. Yeah. That's important, calling it out.
Yes.
And that's what the bystander thing
Please
was.
Please tell me about the bystander
thing. Which effect. This is some statistics, but they are from America. They'll be relevant in the UK as well. 43% of cases of verbal harassment occur when a woman is around a large group of people. I mean, I've seen that and that's happened to me. And sometimes there was a time when I was on the bus and a woman was basically just getting laid into by this guy who didn't know her. And he was really scary and she was just crying. He was like stood up and he was just shouting. And I was like right at the back of the bus. They were right at the front. No one said anything. And then he like ran off the bus and I sort of went up to him and was like, are you okay? And she's like, yeah, no, I'm fine. And I gave her like a starburst or whatever. Off of Garrick Confectionery on buses, guys. But it's that thing of like, I didn't get up and go like, leave her alone because I was frightened because I didn't want him to punch me.
Yeah.
But then there were guys on that bus that were bigger than him. And maybe if all together we'd have gone up as one and sort of, you know, been like, stop it. A bus full of people is a little bit more intimidating for him. And a lot of studies done, the bystander effect, as in standing by and not taking any action, just really, really perpetuates this cycle. And actually, people tend to take action a lot more when they feel that they've got backup. So if one person speaks out, you can pretty much guarantee that someone else is going to go, they're not just going to sit and watch. Because I think most people there, or let's be really cynical about the human race and say 50% of people there want to say something but are frightened. Mm-hmm. So you should be the person to maybe just say something because then you know that you'll probably have backup and then we can start to change it. Because it's like that thing about like, you know, how to deal with crime. You have to bring them to some sort of account. There has to be a deterrent, and there has to be a deterrent with catcalling. Just like on like a train, if someone puts their hand on your ass, I literally go, can you take your hand off my ass, please? And it works so well. They leave immediately. Everyone looks around. It's really great. Because obviously everyone's like, that's fucking disgusting. But with a catcall, for some reason, I don't tend to, or I don't know what to do in the moment because I've been thinking about dinner. And like,
certainly,
like,
and that is a big part of it is the dinner, you know,
dinner you're having
is the speed and the fact that you are so a hand on you on the tube. You are together. He's definitely not going anywhere.
Yeah,
you
process it. And you
can fully process
that's someone's
it.
Knee.
And then you can look. You can process. You can see him.
Knees don't cup.
Knees don't cup. Yeah, exactly. But walking down the street, you are distracted. You're on the back foot. Yeah. It's probably possibly already passed already.
Yeah.
So by the time you've gone like. It's gone like that. You know, he's out of, and then you're just left there like sort of reeling
shouting.
From it and being like, oh God, I feel so
The reeling feeling's interesting, isn't it? You're just like, oh God, I
didn't have a chance to process that or respond properly.
Yeah.
Or I just shouted something completely incoherent because you were prepared and I was not prepared. You already had so much time on me. And I think the speed of it is such an important factor that then it's like, how do we, because the tube thing I think is a wonderful thing and everyone must do that if you can. No, not even if you can.
You can always
you
do
can
it.
Always do
if
it.
Someone, like, it's on the tube
don't,
being gross.
Don't you dare let somebody do that to you.
Yeah. A friend of mine was amazing the other day. There was a guy who was just like staring at this girl's boobs. Like he was an old man just sat next to this girl who was talking to her boyfriend the other side. And he wasn't just like looking at her boobs. He was like staring at
her.
It was really uncomfortable. And I, again, this is basically a podcast about my inability to do anything. But I was just staring and I was like, I didn't want to say something in case he, like, I don't know, ripped my boobs off.
And also, we both
went over and she went, excuse me, you're literally just staring at her boobs? And it was like, oh yeah, that's what you say.
And then what did he say?
He then went, and then got off the tube.
Right.
Like,
I think, because also quite a lot of times it's not so blatant.
Of course,
it's, because then you're like, I don't want to say something, even though I know in my heart and I know that he knows.
They don't know, or in case it's wrong, or in case they go.
Because once a guy who was literally pushing his pram whistled at me, and he did, and he knows he did. But then I turned around and I was like, did you just whistle? And he was like, no, I'm with my kid, you crazy bitch. And then I was like, I mean, we all know you did, but I was like, I'm not going to carry on this argument. Yeah. But then immediately I'm like, oh God, what if he
But you've done a good thing there, because if he did, he will be less likely to do it again because you called him out.
Yeah.
So like actually calling out, the worst case scenario, they didn't, and then they'll just never think about it again. It's fine because they didn't anyway.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Best case scenario,
you're
is
so right. Because that thing of like, that man must think, I have genuinely been...
That man must think I'm weird. He whistled at you and he's got pram.
Yeah. Oh God, yeah. Like, look how quick we are to be like, we are, I am, to be like,
no, I'm
oh,
same.
I hope that man didn't think I was too forward. Yeah. Yeah, you're so right. If he didn't whistle, then no harm, no foul.
Yeah.
And if he did, so I think it's that thing of like, you don't want to, if he's not staring at her boobs and he's got some eye disorder,
yeah,
then we're like, well, we're terribly sorry. No harm, no foul.
Yeah.
And everyone,
I'll go off the tube, we'll all forget about it. I'll
never
see you again.
About this. Never, no bother. Yeah, I think we have to always to the side of that rather than giving people the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, you just
quite
can't.
So much in this new sort of like totalitarian state. Yeah. No benefit of the doubt.
They must die. No, I think the solution to your thing of saying like, I'm in the moment, I'm thinking about, you know, literally anything else. Think about Harvey Weinstein. And someone catcalls me. I'm like, I'm deep in here. Like, I'm trying
to... It took me a while to climb out of my
thoughts. Yeah, I'm having a hard time here. And you can't think of a comeback immediately. Then surely it would help to maybe just have one that you say
certainly.
At all times. And you probably do have something like, yeah, mine is go fuck yourself. Sure. Or a cry. One of the two. No one knows what's coming out. But I'm going to try and like learn or just have like, not learn because it's not long, but just have a reaction so it becomes your reaction. I can't remember where I read it, but I read somewhere and I couldn't find it that just saying no really loud and flatly is a really great starting point because saying no, even if it doesn't grammatically work, like, what's up, love? No! Because you're not saying no to their question. You're saying no to the concept of them even doing it. If you say that really, really loud, like, no! It just immediately, you're reacting in some way. You feel like you've done something. It's not aggressive. It's just like, it's really to the point. Everyone around you knows that you're reacting to that. They know that you're reacting to that. And then maybe... You know, at another point, you can start, I don't know, quoting Shakespeare, whatever you want to do.
Yeah. Here's the thing from my history teacher. The difference between Elizabeth I and Mary Queen of Scots, who were sisters, is that Elizabeth I, they both were a bit nuts and wanted, you know, various enormous things.
Power!
Power! And Elizabeth I just wanted the power, wanted the things done, didn't care how it happened. Get
just
it done.
Get it done.
Get
yeah.
it done. Whereas Mary Queen of Scots wanted to like change religions and like change opinions and wanted like the hearts and minds of the people to change.
Oh, wow, okay.
In comparison to just their actions. And the example she used was like, if they were a parent making you lay the table, that Elizabeth I doesn't care if you like slam the plates down and throw the knives and forks and like make, and just, as long as it's done.
Mm.
Whereas Mary Queen of Scots wants you to like understand why laying the table is important.
And actually learn to enjoy it.
And actually learn to enjoy it.
Mm.
And fully explore why you were cross before and really lay the table. And I think what we probably need in this is an Elizabeth I approach, but
yes.
I can't get away
hopefully
from
hopefully leading to a Mary Queen of Scots
approach.
But
I can't
approach.
Get away from my Mary Queen of Scots thing. So
no.
You being like shouting no, I know that what they'll do if you they catcall you, you shout no, then I know they say, what's wrong with you, you stupid bitch? Like, what? I was just saying something
no,
nice.
They just, they never respond again. They always just, they've said their thing and then they just go and then walk off. Like,
yeah, but I want to like follow them home.
Of course you do.
And make them understand where their pain comes from.
Of course you do.
And do they have a difficult relationship with their father and do they want to discuss it
but
with me?
But you know that those answers are yes, they probably do.
But
they,
I want them to understand.
And they won't because they're stupid, because they wouldn't be catcalling if they were intelligent or willing to engage on an intellectual level with literally
okay.
anything. So you all you have to do is to work on that first approach of just deterrent, and then hopefully when enough women go, no, and fuck off, and why are you asking me that? And do I look like I was doing that for you? Or whatever. They will then go, oh, women keep saying things to me. And they'll ask someone why they can't do that anymore. And then maybe they'll Google it. And maybe they'll, but they're not going to get to that level until they get to that level themselves. Where they're
right,
like,
okay.
Why aren't women enjoying me saying I want to, you know, fuck them up the arse? Why aren't they liking that anymore?
It's a compliment.
We have to work on like quick, simple deterrent.
Great.
I'm not saying
before
no is like
the
best one.
Minds.
I'm just
okay.
saying like that's a good starting point to be like, well, at least you don't have to worry about, you know, stuttering or stammering or sounding upset or mincing your words and then you've tried to do it really clever
I'm gonna go for, I would rather not.
Yes, that's a really great one. Not quite, sir. Makes no sense. But I will be. Yeah. I will be road testing
as
it.
As an entire entity, we all go for not quite, sir.
I would. That would make me so happy if every woman banded together and every man in catcall that we all go not quite, sir. That would make me so happy
because they would have to Google it because they wouldn't be totally sure what she'd said.
Yeah. And then again,
right. I feel like she shouted not quite, sir, but that can't be right.
Can't be
and then all the people in the pub would be like, maybe it was like, not quite, and they would be like,
Latin?
Maybe it's Latin. What is she saying?
What is Latin?
Right, what were the suggestions? Stupid.
So I love some of the suggestions that I got on Twitter because a lot of them favoured doing something silly to disarm them rather than like being aggressive. So Sophie Wilkinson said, call them dad. Thanks, Dad. I think that's like one of the funniest things because it is a thing, isn't it? That when if you're being attacked, there was something you should say. You should say something bizarre, like ask them the time or tell them that Thursday is a red hammer, and then they go like, "What?" And then that weirdness of like, "What the fuck did you just say?" Then you run away. So it's that. It's like being like, "Thanks, Dad," and they'll be like, "What?" And you completely disarm all like power because you have no power because you've just said "Thanks, Dad." They don't know what's going on. Gabby Edlin says, "I put my finger up my nose." That's when I was like, oh, looking pretty, darling. Then you just put your finger in your nose. That's brilliant. Also, I think, when someone says like smile, love, my friend Libby Galvin, hello Libby, says, say something funny then, which I think is very good.
That's sassy.
But now I'd be so terrified that they'd then turn around and do like an excellent tight 10 minutes of comedy.
In which case I'll applaud it.
Fine, I'd probably marry them. Then Matilda is a girl out of my own heart. She just sticks a finger up in the air, her middle finger, not just any finger. Her little finger in the air. It's weird. No, she says, I normally favour a finger of the middle variety, but my failsafe is music so loud I can't hear them in the first place. But you shouldn't have to because you should be able to walk without music, Matilda. But a middle finger is an excellent one when you don't feel like you want to say anything. I've done that a lot, yeah. I'm doing a middle finger now if anyone's interested. A girl called Eva vomited on someone's shoes. I think she was ill beforehand. I think that's what's happened. And then Harry Harris has said that his girlfriend would often give like a swift, withering fuck off to a cheer up, which is very good. And I think fuck off is often a very useful tool that women don't use enough. Mm. Those sorts of men are not expecting us to say fuck off because they're the sort of men that will be like a lady or like, oh, that's like shit because they're idiots. Yeah. So they're not the men that we and hopefully our listeners are friends with because we wouldn't choose to be friends with someone that would yell something to a woman in the street. So they're probably like, yeah, like men are men and women don't say fuck off. So tell them to go and fuck themselves. I think it's really useful. If,
yes.
if there's any potential companies listening to gain sponsorship here, I don't normally swear this much. Like normally we don't swear, but I just think today...
We are quite cross.
Quite cross.
There was a plethora of people recommending shouting.
On Facebook?
Yeah, very much so. Shouting incoherently about the patriarchy tends to scare them off quite effectively. Shouting, I'm gay now!
But I'm gay now! That's it. Now I'm gay! Thank you, sir. Now I'm gay.
Not quite. Running towards them, singing the alphabet or numbers.
I'd be too scared to do
it's
that.
It's a new technique.
It's
but
very bold.
Well, says, yeah.
What if they ran towards you?
Exactly. But I think...
then you'd have to kiss them.
Our friend Freya has gone for... I've heard that shame on you.
Oh, that's nice. A withering shame on you.
Unless it's shame on you. And I think it's shame on,
yeah,
shame
yeah.
on you.
Shame on
cat
you.
Catcalling back, especially if you've got a good whistle.
Oh. No,
nope,
I haven't
not
got
for
one.
You. That's not for you. Do as Amy Winehouse would and yell, I'd rather have cat AIDS. Thank you very much.
Oh, God. That's a good, like, disarming way of saying something disgusting like that.
Yeah, something mad. And you've got to be quick, I guess. You haven't got
so
a lot of time
quick.
Because you can't do that to their fleeting back.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, no, I'd prefer to have cat AIDS.
Cat AIDS. Cat AIDS, God.
Because then you're just saying cat AIDS.
Yeah,
other
so
people.
I think you've got to be quick. You've got to be ready.
You've got to be ship.
You've got to be ship.
That's what you're going to
be
say.
Quick.
Ship
you
shape.
You've got to have your shit ready. When you get told to smile, I generally pull my face into a horrifying rictus grin, hiding my lips. Oh, horrible.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, that's absolutely horrible.
That's horrible. I'm going to do a picture of it now.
I wasn't very good at it. I look like Wallace.
I think, no, but that still works. If you did
it's
that.
Not bad. Whereas
it's
you
not
look
bad
like
good.
A Halloween mask. You look absolutely terrifying. You look like a clown. Laughing manically can be useful, but exhausting, so please be careful of your voice. It's a precious tool.
Thank you, Kat.
Oh, lovely, Kat. Thank you.
People's things are always quite like about confusion and shouting and, you know, in any way, and disarming is a word that's come up several times here.
I feel you have to be quite bold. If you're a little bit shyer and you just don't want to do that, then I think going for a succinct and assertive is a good...
Yeah, and I think one exciting way to walk out the house tomorrow morning...
Oh, my God.
Being prepped, ready to shout.
Cannot wait.
Not
quite
certain.
I'm getting out in like a bikini and stilettos.
We're all going to be like we're going to be so ready.
I'm going to be nude walking down the road.
They're not going to know what to do with us because we're going to be so quick to shout it.
Not quite certain.
Like, wow, she's so quick. Like, so I think that is part of it. Is like, if you just got to be on edge and you know, ready for it. And obviously you can't live like that. Well, it's too exhausting. Yeah. But have a practice.
If you've got it in your mind that you're going to say something and you've got an idea, then
it'll just fly out of your mouth. Once
like
I got
a bird.
Charged out by some builders quite high up.
What a surprise.
Yeah, what a surprise. Because they're high up, of course, so there's nothing they could do. Went back and then walked along the street for it. Because that's the thing, it like takes you a while to be like... No, actually, you know, you've got quite a way before it's like all caught, you process the whole thing.
Yeah.
Walk back, one of them was like unloading a skip. Unfortunately, I asked for the name of the scaffolding company. I meant to say like, who do you work for?
What sort of wood is this scaffolding?
Yeah, then I got like balls deep into a discussion about the scaffolding with this guy who hadn't seen it initially, hadn't seen his mates shout at me. So then he was like shouting up, being like, this lady would like to know about scaffolding.
This is like a perfect advertisement for like not saying anything and not engaging them.
So then I called the scaffolding company, complained about them. They just sell scaffolding. So they were like, this has got nothing to do with us, love. And I was like, oh, I've tried, though, I said to the woman. You can see that I've tried. And she was like, have a good day.
Please,
I really don't care. In conclusion, I'm going to film a love story. A man and a woman, they're sat together and they're going, we've been married for 15 years now. I was just walking on the street and then Steve leant out of a van and shouted something explicit and I just knew he was the one for me and now we've been married 15 years.
I was pregnant immediately.
Immediately. He looked wonderful.
I'm honest.
Yeah.
That's how he addresses me every morning. when we wake up, he has to lean out of something and shout at me.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it just doesn't work.
Yeah, you brave big man leaning out of a moving vehicle to shout at somebody.
God. Protected by a pack of your friends. So maybe like, succinct, assertive, have something in your arsenal to just say as your automatic reaction.
Think of your practice one now. Have a time, have a moment. Not you. I mean like...
I was going to practice.
Oh, what's yours?
You know quite so.
I know what yours is. You've been practicing. Won't stop practicing. But I'm saying if not quite so isn't working,
isn't in your wheelhouse,
isn't rolling off the tongue for everyone.
Have a Google, try some other ones or the other ones that we've mentioned.
If you are a gentleman who sees this, go and call it out. You don't have to be threatening or aggressive. Just be like, hey, that wasn't cool. And pop on your way.
Yeah.
Or say like...
Leave her alone, mate. That's a really useful one.
And also don't then go up to the girl afterwards and be
like... try and have sex with her.
I don't know if you saw what I did there, but I actually was really good. Just like, you don't need to like show us how good you were. Like, just be nice.
Yeah.
In your best case scenario, she puts a nice message on her private social media that you'll never see.
Yeah.
So just go to bed at night knowing that that's happened, but you'll never know
about
it.
Be a nice person.
Just be a nice person for no gain. And then second group of gentlemen, if you are somebody who... literally cannot help catcalling.
I mean, how many listeners?
I think we got a few.
Okay. Hello, Gary.
Gary and Steve. If you really can't help yourself, try making it less sexual and aggressive and shout things like, you're very good at the violin. And
maybe.
You look like you've got a high IQ, et cetera, et cetera.
Et cetera. Or just say it in your brain, like literally everyone else on the planet does. We've all chosen to have friends that we talk to and interact
spoiler,
with.
Spoiler, gentlemen, Gary and Steve, we're thinking filthy things.
All
and
the
we
time.
Don't say them.
Don't say them.
Because they're not for you.
Every time I see a guy, I think, get your knob out! Every time.
yes!
Every time.
Shall we do that in response?
Oh, tell them to get their knobs out.
What if
they
do?
Yeah, I don't want them to. Whereas they genuinely do want to see a tit, I think. It's just difficult.
They're
isn't
on
it?
The internet, Gary. Go and look at them
I
there.
Know. Just go look at them in your own time.
And admit to yourself that it's not about a boob, it's about the power.
Yeah, they want to see some power. So they want to see.
Go and think about your issues with your father, all right, Gary?
Gary! If you...
Stevie's tortoise is called Gary.
I know, yeah. And she catcalls a lot. And yes, it is a woman. I'm genuinely excited to leave the building now. I'm also really hoping that Tom catcalls me just so I can punch him. He won't because he's a nice man. But yes, if you have any thoughts about catcalling, if you want to have a rant, if you have a good story about catcalling, please tweet us at StevieM. The S is a 5. Oh, I can't relate that to catcalling. Get your 5 tits out.
Oh, look. My name's got a cat in it.
That's good.
My letters have got spelled cat.
Brilliant.
So that's good enough.
It's good enough, isn't it? But do you want to say your actual Twitter handle?
Yeah, at Tessa Coates. And there's a cat in there.
Great. Email us podcast@thedebrief.co.uk. If you liked it, give us a rate and a review because it helps them old guys at iTunes. I don't know if they're old or the guys, but it does help. And we love reading them as well.
Oh, we do love reading them. I mean, don't think we read them.
It's my bedtime reading. And yeah, have a lovely week. And what are you going to say when that guy cat calls you? Oh, all right, Blondie.
Not quite, sir.
I love you.
Bye.
Bye.